Well, good morning. It is wonderful to see you all here this morning. I even got waved at by somebody out in the hallway. That was amazing. I'm just feeling like everybody is, this is great. This is wonderful. So, got a couple announcements for you. First announcement I do want to emphasize is please look at all the announcements in your bulletin. We don't talk about all of them every week just because there's a lot in there. So we try to highlight the ones that are relevant to everybody and kind of coming up that are important. But I just want you to know each week we are kind of anticipating that you're going to read those announcements. So please do read through those announcements. Today, right after the announcements, I'm going to have the Word of Life Hungary Missions team come up. And we're going to also have the elders come up. We're going to pray for them. They'll be leaving on Friday and headed out to Hungary for a week and a couple of days of a mission trip over in Hungary. So I want to be in prayer for them. Also in the fall, we have a new Sunday school class that's going to be offered. It's called Foundations. And basically what it is it's a class that takes you through the basic foundations of theology. Just kind of the basics. So after you become a believer, then there's a lot of material about theology that's just good to know. So that's what the Foundations class is going to be all about. So that's coming up. And we have, like I said, there's a bunch of other things in the bulletin that we need to just make sure you're aware of. Just wanted to remind you that you are in the back side of the bulletin, there is a financial year update, and it just kind of gives you an update of where we're at for how the church is doing fiscally. How our church functions, like most churches in America, is they function off the concept of those who call this church their home. They financially and generously give to the church ministry of that church. And so that's how a church functions. That's how a church stays open. So just want to remind you to be faithful and to be generous. That is an important thing for us as we look forward to the things that the Lord is doing here at the church. I want to open this up in a word of prayer, and then as I'm praying, if the Word of Life Hungary team would come up front as well as the elders, I appreciate that. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity that you have brought us in from all of the different areas of our life, from our sleep, from our work, from all of the things that we've been doing. And you brought us into this house of worship where we are together with like-minded people who love you or investigating what it would mean to have a relationship with you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us as we go through the various elements of the service this morning, that our hearts would be drawn into a deeper, more intimate, more passionate relationship with you. And Lord, I pray that you would help, that you would cause everything that happens in this service to be for your glory and for your honor. We love you and we pray all these things in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. So this is your Word of Life Hungary team and your elders. So I'm going to hand the microphone, the red microphone here to Gail. And Gail is going to tell you a little bit about what she would like you to pray for this team over the next week or so. And then also, would you introduce the team?
Okay. So I'll introduce. This is Jackson Chris Burton, John Stogner, and Hannah Regier, and myself. So Hannah and I have been a few times, and for Chris and Jax and John, it'll be for their first trip. So prayer needs for this week are just working out the logistics, just all that needs to be packed and thought over. Prayer for protection over our team, and we do have a specific prayer request that we make our connecting flight in Atlanta. We have 45 minutes, and if we don't make the flight, we'll be spending an extra day in Atlanta. So we need to get to Hungary on time. So.
Okay. All right, so what we're going to do now is we're going to pray for them. The elders are going to pray for them, and then we're going to be basically commissioning them off or sending them off. They're not leaving until Friday, but this is our first chance to be together. So, Alan, do you mind praying? Okay.
Lord God, what a privilege today to, as a local church, participate with this team. And so, Lord, we just ask for you to bring your blessings down and your grace and mercy as this team travels. And there's so much that comes with that, and we just pray that you're in every detail. And most of all, Lord, we just pray that this team is protected spiritually and physically and watched over. And Lord, we know that you will work in their hearts, and they will not only be a blessing, but they will be blessed, and they will grow through this. And so we just pray that all the way through, you're working through the Holy Spirit in the hearts that they will be ministering to, but also within their hearts, and they will come back with a report that will be a blessing to our congregation here, knowing the part that we have had to play in this. And Lord, we just thank you for each life here and what they represent, and we ask all these things in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. So be in prayer for them this week as you think about it, and the worship team is headed up.
Good morning, church. Let's stand to our feet and worship together.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
To see you high.
To see you high and lifted up. Shining your power in love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power in love as we sing holy, holy, holy.
To see you
high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power in love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see. Holy, holy, holy. want to see you.
Well, seated next to you are some of the coolest people in Dallas. And what I'd like you to do is introduce yourself to them and tell them your favorite fish to eat for lunch. Go.
All right, everybody. Let's find our places, but please remain standing as we focus on the scripture for a moment.
Good morning, everyone. Today we will be reading Psalm 96, 1 through 6, and I don't know about y'all, but this is a pretty uplifting one for me. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary.
Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty. Through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior.
I believe
in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light, forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you, and I believe you rose again, and I believe in that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again.
Jesus, thank you that no matter what storms come our way, no matter what's happening in life, that we can always look to you and know that it is well. Lord, the promises you've given us that you will keep, like every promise you've made before. Lord, I pray that on this day, we would not get caught up in what's going on in our lives, but we would be able to put that at your feet and focus on you and not miss what you have for us this day. Whether it be something for ourselves or something for people around us, Lord, I think sometimes we get caught up in what's happening in our life and we forget what our purpose is and we forget that we're supposed to love other people as you love us. And Lord, it's really hard to do that when we're self-centered and focused on our own issues and problems. Lord, I pray that we would lay that burden at your feet and that you would empower us to go forth this week and do what you've called us to do. And I pray this morning we would open our hearts to receive anything more that you have for us. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen.
Well, I do need to start off with an apology. And for those of you who were here last week, I did use an illustration about a person who you don't know. It was an individual who's a DTS. And I characterized his conduct as irritating. And I shouldn't have done that. My apologies. I was wrong. I'll be much more careful about that in the future. You will often hear me talk about someone who's irritating, but it'll always be me. However, I will try very hard in the future not to put anyone in a negative light. So that was my fault. We'll try not to make that happen again. There is a show out right now called The Deadliest Catch. And what it is, it's a reality show with quotes, you know. It's a reality show about fishermen who are fishing for crab on the Bering Sea. Now, the Bering Sea is a really difficult place situated between Russia and Alaska. When storms come up, waves can be 20, 25 feet. It's cold, it's difficult, it's dark, it's a hard place to fish. But what is interesting is watching this show is that these fishermen live a dangerous but a very simple life. They live a dangerous life. They're in dangerous conditions. They are fishing, and there is a possibility they may not come home. If they go overboard, they have only a few seconds to be rescued, or they will die in the water. It's so cold. But they live a very simple life. They wake up in the morning. They fish. They eat, and they go to sleep. The next day, they do the exact same thing. They wake up, they fish, they eat, and they go to sleep. And these fishermen have a very simple life. And if they make it home, they usually get rewarded with a lot of money to do it. But it's a very simple life. And the reality is for that many people today, modern humanity will choose to live a simple life. Modern humanity, many, many, many people will choose to live a simple life. They will wake up in the morning, they will go to work, they will eat, and they will go to sleep. And they'll wake up the next day, and they'll do it all over again. And the reality is that even people who are believers, who have had an encounter in their life with the supreme God of the universe, who can go anywhere, who can do anything. They've had an intimate relationship with Him, an intimate interaction with Him. Oftentimes, those people will also choose to live a simple life. They wake up, they go to work, they'll fish, they'll come home and eat, go to bed, and wake up the next day and do it all over again. And the question that I want to pose to you this morning, is that the life that Jesus calls us to? Is the simple life the life that Jesus calls us to live? Now, you may be here this morning and you may be have come into this church and you are not in a relationship with the Lord. You're far from the Lord because of things you've done or not done or whatever has gone on in your life. And so you may be in a spot right now where you're like, I am not close with the Lord at all. And this morning, what I want to ask you is, the life that Jesus is calling you to, do you understand what that life is? Do you understand the life that Jesus is calling you to? You may be living a simple life right now, but is that the life that Jesus wants you to live? You may have come in this morning, and you may be in an intimate relationship with the Lord, and you may call yourself a believer, but you've kind of maybe gotten into that pattern of living a simple life. Is that the life that Jesus has called you to? This morning, what we're going to do is we're going to go to a book in the Bible, the book of Luke. If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn with me. If you don't, there are pew Bibles in front of you. We're going to be in the book of Luke, and we're going to look at a story where Jesus meets a man, three men in particular, but specifically the story centers around Peter. And Peter just so happens to be a fisherman. And he is living a simple life. And Jesus interacts with him and he calls him out of that life into a different life. And what we're going to do is we look at the story of how Jesus interacts with Peter and we're going to say, have we also moved out of the simple life that Jesus called us out of? Or are we still living the simple life when Jesus found us? And what we're going to see as we look at this time period, right now we are kind of in the beginning of Luke, so we'll be in Luke chapter 5 this morning. But in this beginning parts of the book of Luke, we're talking about the introductory things about Jesus. Jesus is disclosing to people who he is and what he's come here to do. And so as Jesus interacts with Peter, we're learning about what Jesus has come here to do. And this morning we're going to be in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And we're going to see that what happens is Jesus calls Peter to fall, Jesus calls Peter to catch, and then Jesus calls Peter to leave. Jesus calls Peter to fall, Jesus calls Peter to catch, and then he calls him to leave. And as we go through this story and as we look at what Jesus calls Peter to do, I'm going to ask you to come alongside as well and say, have I done these things that Jesus called Peter to do? And that's basically where we're going this morning. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, the first nine verses, tell us the setting, kind of to give us the story. And so we're going to kind of go through that. And I want to start with the concept that Jesus calls Peter to fall. And he does. Look with me at verse 1. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him, speaking of Jesus, Jesus is in a situation and the crowd is pressing around him. then you can kind of understand this, because Jesus is in a crowd. There's people all around him, and everybody wants to get close to Jesus. You've been in a crowd before, right, where some little person shorter than you wiggles past you and gets up front, and then before long you realize you're in the back of the pack. You're like, oh, I got to wiggle through the front to get to the front. Well, this is what the crowd is doing all around him. They're crowding around Jesus. They want to be near him. They want to hear what he's saying. They want to touch him. They want to be as close as they can to him. And so this crowd is pressing around Jesus. And they're listening to the word of God. They understood that what Jesus was saying were the very words of God. Jesus was not, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, Jesus was not saying, well, so-and-so said such and such. He's saying, this is what the Lord wants you to hear. And people were hanging on his every word. And he was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret. Now, this is also called the Sea of Galilee, but we call it the Sea of Galilee other places. It's not really a sea. And so this is the real name for the place, but it can be go by both names. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. So we know that Jesus is in a crowd of people right by the edge of a lake, and he notices two boats that are on the shore. It's going to become important later. There's details that are given throughout this story that are very important. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. So the fishermen had pulled their boats up onto shore, grabbed their gear out, and they were on the shore washing their nets. They had finished fishing. They were done, or almost done. Verse 3 says this, and he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. Now, we read the story sometimes and think, oh, how lucky is that? No, no, no. Jesus picked this boat because he knew it was Simon's. And he asked him to put out a little distance from the land. And he sat down and continued teaching the crowds from the boat. So Jesus is on the shore. People are crowding around him. He sees two boats. He gets into the one that just so happens to be Peter's. And he says, hey, Peter, push me out a little bit from the shore. And what Jesus is doing here is he's creating a natural amphitheater. Now, all these people are going to be able to hear him. They couldn't hear him when they were crowding around, and now they're going to be able to hear him. And so he begins to teach the crowds. We fast forward in verse 4 to the end of the teaching time. It says, now when he had finished speaking, when Jesus had finished speaking to the crowd, he said to Simon, whose boat he was in, put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. So Simon and the guys that were helping him were on the shore. They were cleaning the nets. They were just about done. They had finished fishing. They were setting up their gear for the next day. And Jesus tells them, Peter, get your gear back in the boat and go out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch of fish. And Peter's response here is completely understandable. Simon responded, he said, Master, we have worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do what you say. I will do as you say and let down the nets. So Peter communicates to him, hey, Jesus, in case you haven't been knowing what's been going on, me and my guys, we've been out in the boat all night on this lake where you're telling us to go, and we have caught nothing. We have now cleaned our nets. We're ready to go home. And Jesus said, put your gear back in the boat and go out to the deep. Let down your nets for a catch. And Simon says, okay. For reasons that are not completely clear, Peter obeys Jesus. And he says, okay. So Simon responded and said, Master, we worked hard all night, caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets. And when they had done this, threw their gear in the boat, rowed out to the deep, dropped the nets in the water. When they had done this, they caught a great quantity of fish, a great multitude of fish, so many fish that their nets began to tear. So these nets were not designed to catch boatloads of fish when you're pulling them up. They're designed to catch some fish, but not to catch this many fish. So they're pulling the nets up, and as they're pulling the nets up, the nets are beginning to tear because they're full of fish. So the story goes on. And then when they had done this, they caught a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to tear. Verse 7, so they signaled, the guys who were in the boat, they signaled to their partner boat that was on the shore in the other boat to come and help them. And they came, and they put all of the fish into the both of the boats to the point that they were sinking. Now you see the story is unfolding. We're still getting the setting here. The story is unfolding, and now these guys have got this huge catch of fish, bringing them into the boats, is tearing their nets. Once they get them in the boats are sinking. Their nets, their boats were not designed for this level of catching fish. And then at verse 8, it says this. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Jesus brought this miracle catch of fish to Peter and his companions. A miracle catch of fish that was more fish than their nets could handle, more fish than their boats could handle. He brought that to them, and all of a sudden, Peter realized what was going on. Because I'm sure what he thought, it was like, okay, the teacher is like wanting me to repay me for letting me use my boat. So he's going to give me a couple of fish. That's probably what he was thinking. But then all of a sudden, he looks at the fish, and he realizes, wait a minute. Something more is going on here. This man is not human. This man is from God, which you will find out later, he was God. And all of a sudden, Peter drops to his knees and he says, Lord, please go away from me. Because you are holy and I am nothing like that. Go away from me, get away from me because you are holy and right, you are from God, and I am a man who has done some bad stuff. Jesus, go away from me. What is interesting about what Peter does here is that Peter falls at Jesus' feet and he surrenders. And this is what Jesus was calling Peter to. The miracle catch of fish wasn't just to provide fish on the table for him. The miracle catch of fish was to communicate to Peter, Peter, I am God. Bow and worship me. And he does. And we go on in verse 9 and he says this. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Verse 9, for amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the fish, because of the catch of fish what they had taken. And so Peter falls at the feet of Jesus and says, go away from me, for I'm a sinful man. And Peter realized that he was not in a right position with the Lord. He realized that he was a sinful person and God was perfect. Jesus was perfect. And the two should not meet. Peter said, he fell down at Jesus' feet. And what is so incredibly important about that is what Jesus is going to say later is he's going to lead him on a path. He's going to call him out of something. But the first thing that Peter needed to do is Peter needed to realize that he was sinful. And he had to fall at Jesus' feet. The Deadliest Catch show is kind of an interesting story. It's an interesting series. There's one of the things that's going on. The series has been on for 20 years now, and so they're introducing new captains to the show, and they're co-captaining some of these boats. And so you have these old captains on the boats with young captains. And one of the things that the old captains are realizing is that these new captains are going to replace them. And so they're trying to have a lasting influence on the younger captains. So they're trying to tell the younger captains how to do things. And the younger captains, shocker here, don't want to listen to them. And so they're not getting along. The older captains and the younger captains, they're not getting along. What's happening is the older captains are starting to realize that I've lived a simple life. I've got up every morning, I've gone fishing, I've eaten, I went back to bed, I did it, I kept doing it, and my life is ending. I'm getting old, I'm getting ready to retire, I'm getting to be done, and they want to leave something that matters. So they're grasping at straws because they've lived a simple life and they haven't made any difference. Jesus approaches Peter. We don't know where he's in that cycle, but he says, he's calling them to something out of his simple life. He's calling them out of it. And the first thing that Peter has to do is he has to fall at Jesus' feet. The first thing he has to do is to fall at Jesus' feet and say, I am a sinful man. And as Jesus calls Peter out of that simple life, he may indeed be calling you even this morning out of the simple life that you are living. You may be able to identify with Peter or with some of these fishermen on the Deadliest Catch. You're living a simple life. You're waking up. You're going to work. You're eating and you're going to bed, and it's just a simple life. And like these older captains are starting to realize that their turn is almost over. And they're wondering, is this all there is to life? And as Peter wondered that, Jesus called him out of that. And the first step that he had to make was he had to fall at Jesus' feet. And as you're here this morning, I want to challenge you to ask yourself, do you need to fall at Jesus' feet? If you have never entered into a relationship with the Lord, you have to fall at Jesus' feet because you have to understand that you have sin and your sin is keeping you from the Lord. That's the block. But if you are a believer and you've been living for the Lord, there can be times where you get into this phase of doing things and all of a sudden sin takes a role in your life, and now you're having to get to the place where you need to fall at Jesus' feet and say, Jesus, please forgive me. I have done wrong. That's what Peter did. That was the first step of what Peter did. The first thing that Peter did was he fell at Jesus' feet. And then as we look at verse 10, we're going to see Jesus goes on and he tells Peter more about what this call would be. And the next part is going to be the part of this call is to catch. And it says, and likewise also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not fear, from now on you will be catching people. And now the story changes. Now Jesus is revealing to Peter that he's calling him out of the simple life and what he's calling him out of the simple life to do. And he's calling him out of the simple life to catch men. Peter's first response was fear. He was fearful at Jesus' feet. And Jesus said, do not fear. From now on, you will catch men. And that is the call that Jesus places to all believers, is to not only come into a relationship with him, but then once they're in that relationship, then to go out and catch men and tell them about who he is. And Peter understood in this moment that the catch of fish that he saw was not a message for his table, was not a message for his partners. It was a message for him. Jesus was communicating to him, as you have caught these fish, now you will catch men in abundance. In the Deadliest Catch, it's actually kind of funny. It's completely staged, which is clear, because almost all of these boats have this co-captain who's younger, and the captain will come out, the older captain will come out and say, okay, lay these crab pots to catch crab, lay them here. And then they say, I'm going to go take a nap. Like, every boat does it. It's kind of weird. And I'm like, okay, weird. So anyways, the older captain leaves, and the younger captain says, I've got a better idea. I'm going to lay the pots over here. And so they put them in a different place. And there's all this drama. Dun, 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 what's going to happen? Is the older captain going to be mad? And sure enough, every single one, the younger captains pick up these pots, and there's more crab in it. How does that happen? It's amazing. It's a show. It's scripted. It's designed that way. But what the producers are trying to do is they're trying to show that these younger captains have potential. They're going to be great captains in the future. And a little bit of that is what is going on here with Jesus. Jesus helps these guys catch all of this fish, but catching the fish is not the message. The message is that Jesus is going to help them learn how to catch men, and they're going to catch men in an abundance. And so they're called out of the simple life to a life of catching. And then we see in verse 11, we're going to go back down to the end of the story, and we're going to see that Jesus tells them and calls them to leave. They need to leave the way that they've been doing things and follow him. And in verse 11, it says, when they had brought their boats to land, when they had brought the two boats onto shore filled with fish, they left everything. Peter, James, and John left everything. They left the ships. They left the gear. They left the guys that were working. And they left the fish. They left everything. Because they understood at this point in the story is not about the multitude of fish. The story is about Jesus calling them to something else. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed Jesus. And they left their careers, they left that life behind, and they followed after Jesus, who would teach them how to become fishers of men. And that is the life that they would live. They would be trained by Jesus, and they would go through that process, and they would one day be fishers of men who would catch thousands of people who would become Christians because of the work that they were doing. And Jesus called them out of the simple life to a life of leaving, to a life of catching, and a life of falling. And this morning, what I want to challenge you with is the idea. I want to challenge you with a concept. I want to challenge you with the idea that we are also in a similar spot. Jesus is calling us out of the simple life. And if you are here this morning and you are living the simple life and you are living a life where it feels like it's not going anywhere, you, like all of us, are being called into the life of an intimacy with Jesus, where he will teach you how to become a fisher of men. So my challenge for you this week is this. My challenge for you this week is I'm challenging you over this next week to invite one person to church with you next week. Over the next week, invite one person to church with you next week. And here's why. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to give us an opportunity to move ourselves past the idea of the waking up, eating, falling asleep, and feeling like our lives are simple, to entertain what it would be like to be a person who is being used by God to influence others for him. So this week, one person, friend, family, doesn't matter, invite them to church with you next week. And then next week, we'll see what the Lord has in store for us. At this point in the service, now we move into a time of communion. If you didn't get one of these disposable communion cups on your way in, just go ahead and raise your hand up. We have some gentlemen in the back. We'll make sure to get those to you. This is what we call the Lord's table, and we say that for various reasons, but one of those reasons is we want to communicate that this is the Lord's table. This is not our table. If you are here this morning and you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are welcome to this table, whether this is your home church or not. You are welcome to participate with us in this time of remembrance. I want to caution you that if you are a person who is not a believer, if you've not entered into an intimate relationship with the Lord, this won't make a lot of sense to you because we're remembering something that Jesus did for us. And if he hasn't done that for you, it won't make a lot of sense, and probably just best to use this time as an opportunity to pray and to think about what the Lord is doing and what you've learned here this morning. First part of it is we take the bread and we read from the book of 1 Corinthians, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and his disciples were with him at dinner, and they had some bread, and he broke it. And at this point, they really don't know the significance of what Jesus is doing. But he's wanting to get them to understand that what Jesus is about to do, where he's about to be crucified, is about to allow himself to be crucified. He's doing that for them. And so when they will in the future take the bread that reminds them of the body that Jesus was willing to have crucified, they will remember Jesus loves them. And so he says this, he said, do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. So a little bit later in the evening, as supper had progressed, he took a cup. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This was setting up the symbolism that they would later experience that evening where Jesus' blood was spilled. And when Jesus eventually would die, his blood being spilled would provide the forgiveness for their sins and for ours. So he said, drink this in remembrance of me. Then he closed with, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.
Let's stand and sing once more before we leave this morning. We're going to start with, Lord, haste the day.
And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sighed. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the descend, even so it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul.
Glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church and through Christ Jesus, through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.